स्वार्चितेषु
यथार्हताः
उत्थिता सदसो माद्ये क्षारानाम् उदरात् इव
In that great assembly, Maharaj Prithu first of all worshipped all the respectable visitors according to their respective positions. After this, he stood up in the midst of the assembly, and it appeared that the full moon had arisen amongst the stars. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, the reception of great exalted personalities as arranged by Prithu Maharaj in that great sacrificial arena is very important. The first procedure in receiving guests is to wash their feet. And it is learned from the Vedic literatures that one time when Maharaj Yudhisthira performed a Rajasuya Yajna, Krishna took charge of washing the feet of the visitors. Similarly, Maharaj Prithu also arranged for the proper reception of the demigods, the saintly sages, the Brahmins, and the great kings. In that great assembly, Maharaj Prithu first of all worshipped all the respectable visitors according to their respective positions. After this, he stood up in the midst of the assembly, and it appeared that the full moon had arisen amongst the stars. Maharaj Prithu, who is a Shaktivesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord, is establishing by his own personal example proper behavior by which we will be elevated rather than degraded in this world. The law of nature is that by the natural course, the tendency is to be degraded. Just like there is the law of gravity, it pushes everything down. If you want to go up, you have to fight against the law of gravity. It's very easy just to lay down on the ground or on a nice soft bed. Similarly, if you want to climb a mountain, it's very difficult. But if you want to fall down a mountain, it's very easy. All you have to do is stop struggling to go up.
to climb Mount Everest, people spend weeks and weeks and weeks just struggling and straining. But it only takes a person a second to fall down. Because this material world is very opposite from the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the nature of the place, the chit shakti of the Lord, is it's constantly bringing everyone up to higher and higher and higher states, eternally. We're never stagnant. Our love, our devotion, our enthusiasm, our bliss, it is always increasing. It's always going up higher and higher and higher and higher. But this material world is a place where everyone, by nature's course, is being pushed down. It's very easy to do the wrong thing in this world. But generally, it's very difficult to do the right thing. To control the mind and senses is difficult. To let the mind and senses degrade you is very easy. To be honest is difficult. To be dishonest is very easy. To be moral in this age of Kali is very difficult. To follow rules and regulations is very difficult. But to live an unrestricted immoral life is very easy. We can understand that if we're not struggling to go up, we will be pushed down. You cannot remain in the position you are in. Material laws of nature will not allow this to happen. So therefore, great personalities, they show by their example how to uplift their own lives and simultaneously, by their example, uplift other people's lives. So that we have an example to follow. Ahajano yena katasa panta. The path of perfection is following in the footsteps of great souls. The real mission of a great soul is to show the example of how we should and must live if we do not want to be subjected to degradation. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Human life is meant for austerity. So Maharaj Prithu is setting the proper example. In everything he did, he's performing this wonderful sacrifice for the welfare of all living beings. And although he is certainly the most exalted person who is assembled at that place, being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still, Maharaj Prithu is very, very careful to give proper respect to all persons who by their particular position are worthy of that respect. He's honoring and worshiping the exalted souls. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we actually want to chant the holy name of the Lord in such a way that Krishna will be pleased to give us that higher taste, then we must offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Now, how to offer all respect to others is a great science. It is based on culture.
tradition, which have been exemplified by great souls, specifically the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chaduskratam dharma samstapanarya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord comes to annihilate the miscreants, protect and give pleasure to his devotees, and establish religious principles, not only by what he speaks, but his conduct on this earth. When Lord Balaramji visited Vrindavan after being away for a long time, it is described how he respected the various people of Vrindavan to his superiors. That means those who were elder than him, those who held a higher position, like a Brahmin, those who had very high knowledge and so forth. To his superiors, he would bow down to them and take the dust from their feet. To his equals, his friends, he respected them by embracing them and exchanging very intimate and sweet words. And to those who were in a lesser position than himself, he respected them, he honored them by accepting their obeisances and respect and giving them blessings. But in every sense, he was actually respecting those persons according to their position. Vaishnava etiquette, Lord Chaitanya had said, it is the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of Krishna when it is observed properly. In this age of Kali, especially when people are very much in these liberation movements, everyone wants their rights. Usually it's because people have been disrespected in their positions. They have not been properly honored. Therefore they retaliate and they want to conquer the governments. They want to conquer the social system. They want equal rights. It's a revolutionary age. The young do not want to respect the old. There's very little respect anymore in this world. Everyone wants to be respected. That means the gravitational forces of the influence of Kali is just pushing the entire society to the depths of ignorance and bondage. How we learn to respect all living beings according to their positions is actually a sign of a healthy society. When Lord Ramchandra appeared on the earth, he was respectful to everyone. How he respected his mother and father. To show his respect for his father's word of honor, he voluntarily went to the forest for 14 years. And even though everyone in Ayodhya, including his own father, was begging him not to go, to show respect for his father's words, he accepted gladly exile into the Dandakaranya forest. And Vishwamitra Muni is his devotee. Ramchandra is the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of everything that exists. But because Vishwamitra Muni was a Brahman, because he had performed proper tapasya, he had a clean heart, Lord Ram bowed to him as he bowed to his own father and took the dust from his feet every day. He bowed before Vishwamitra Muni, took the dust of his feet, massaged his feet, rendered service to him, and with folded palms was always inquiring submissively from him. How Sri Ram respected people who were elder than him, like Maharaj Guha or Jatayu. Sri Ramchandra, even though Jatayu was a bird and a vulture at that, because he was a friend of Lord Ram's father, and he gave his life, Sri Ramchandra accepted the role of his own son. What respect. And personally performed the last rites for him. Even though socially, Jatayu was an outcast as far as human society went. And Ram was prince of the Raghu dynasty. He was supposed to be king. Such respect. And for his own wife Sita, how he respected her. When she was kidnapped by Ram and by Ravana, out of respect for her chastity and for her position as his wife, he fought the entire battle of Sri Lanka. And when he was king, how he respected every single one of his citizens. Every day, at a certain time, he opened the doors to the palace, and any citizen in the entire kingdom could come before him, and he would respectfully hear what they had to say, and he would serve them. He would do the needful in order to make them satisfied. Amanina manadena. He literally offered respects to all living beings. And how he respected the demigods. After he killed Ravana, he gave Ravana every chance. But Ravana was just so full of passion and envy that he was just hell-bent on destroying his own dynasty through his diabolical actions. But because Ravana was a devotee of Shiva, and Ram killed Ravana, actually, he even respected Ravana. After Ravana was dead, he told Vibhishan, perform the last rites for your brother. Give him some good fortune. Even respected his enemy. And because Ravana was a devotee of Shiva, Lord Sri Ramchandra performed an elaborate puja, sacrifice of worship to Lord Shiva to beg pardon for killing his devotee. If you go to Rameshwaram, that is the place it happened. We know the story. Ram said, what should I do to give my honor and respect to Lord Shankar? I killed his devotee, Ravana. So, Brahman said, you should perform puja to Shiva Lingam. There's a Shiva Lingam at Kailash. Bring it. Hanuman said, I'll get it.
But there was a certain time that that puja had to be performed, because in Treta Yuga things had to be according to very strict procedural rules and regulations. So the auspicious time was coming fast. So Hanuman, he jumped all the way to Mount Kailash, took the lingam, saw another one and took that for himself. And as he was on his way back, the Brahmin said, "Time's up, Hanuman's not here, you have to do something." So this was a crisis. But Sita Devi, always eager to assist her Ram, she made a beautiful Shivalingam out of the sand on the shore of the ocean. And Sri Ram worshipped. That deity became known as Rameshwaram. And after, just when he finished the worship, Hanuman arrived with his Shivalingam. And the Brahmin said, "Too late, Hanumanji." Now for Hanuman to be too late is a very, very sad situation. Because he's the example of Dasya Ras, serving the Lord by carrying out his orders. And he did not properly carry out his orders. He was in such lamentation. So Ram worshipped Hanumanji Shivalingam also. And to pacify Hanuman, this is how Ram respects even his own devotee. He thanked him so graciously. He said, "From this day on, I make this proclamation that anyone who wants to worship properly Sita's Shivalingam must first worship Hanuman's for all time to come." So Hanumanji was very happy. So Ram taught us how to respect all different types of people. And he wanted to show respect to the Brahmin class. So he and all of his brothers, they performed tapasya at various places for the sin of killing a Brahmin. He didn't have to do that. Ravana was a blood-sucking Rakshasa who deserved to die long ago. And Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He specifically descended into the world because the demigods wanted Ravana slain. But still, to show respect to the Brahmins, he went to Devprayag. It's one of the holy places in the Himalayas. If you go there, you will see there is a temple of Ram with his footprints. That's where he actually performed his tapasya to atone for killing a Brahmin. To such an extent, on every single level, Sri Ramchandra taught that real culture, spiritual culture, is to know how to respect people according to their position. Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada describes here in the purport that during the Rajasuya Yajna of Maharaj Yudhisthira, each relative of the Pandavas and Kurus who were united at that time, they all accepted particular services. Bhima took charge of the kitchen because he wanted to dovetail his propensity. Sahadev the guests, Draupadi serving prasad. Everyone took particular designated services, and Krishna volunteered to personally wash the feet of all the guests with his own hands to show respect to them. Washing feet is not simply a ritual, because in spiritual circles, all our rituals
have internal substance. It is a way of expressing our particular type of consciousness. So Krishna was actually honoring and worshiping every guest. Now, what type of respect was he showing for Maharaj Yudhisthira, who happens to be his devotee? But because Yudhisthira Maharaj at that time was in the position of king, in order to respect the pious king Yudhisthira, Krishna accepted that role to wash the feet of every one of his guests. Very, very humble position. Similarly to Krishna's elders, when he went to in Dwarka and in Mathura, Krishna and Balaram would touch the feet of their mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, bow their heads at their feet, and with folded hands offer them respect. Because they were in the superior position of being the mother and father of Krishna and Balaram. So they taught human society to honor the father and the mother. Even in the Judeo-Christian Ten Commandments, that is one of the commandments, to honor the father and the mother. Of course, in this age of Kali, we have to learn to honor our mothers and fathers according to their position also. Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. When we surrender to Krishna, that doesn't mean we give up respecting others. Because Krishna is teaching us how to surrender. But we must understand. We go on with our devotional service, but still we offer all honor and respect. It is said, actually, with your permission, we'll discuss a few of the various categories of respectable persons that are seen as senior to ourselves, and how great persons have honored them. One is a guest. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, if a grihastha has an unexpected guest that comes to his or her home, and that guest is not properly respected and satisfied, then the house of that householder is no better than a hole, a dark hole, which is the residence for a snake. Hare Krishna. Extreme language, because it's an important topic. If God has given you a home, if God has given you some facilities, it is actually your God-given duty to respectfully share that with a guest. Just like when Krishna came to Mithila, Bahulasma, beautiful throne and dancing people and wonderful feast. And Shrutadeva, poor Brahman, just gave him a simple straw mat and danced before him himself and waved his chatur, Haribo, and went out and begged and got some rice to give him. But the principle is there to respect the guest. And Ranti Dev,
Maharaj Shibi, they were kings. But every type of guest that came to them, they respected, they honored, they served. Whether it was a Brahmin or a Shudra, even dogs and chandalas, even pigeons and hawks, they gave all respect to anyone who came as a guest in their home. And they respected by humble service. When Lord Chaitanya was living in this world, any guest that may have come to his home, how he treated them. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how once about 20 sannyasis just happened to come to his house. Haribo. So Lord Chaitanya immediately told his good wife that we should serve them nicely. So she just went right in the kitchen. So much she prepared the bhoga and offered it to Krishna. It was hard work. The goddess of fortune is working so hard all day to serve the guests. Lakshmi Priya. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is washing their feet, offering them sitting places, folded hands, welcoming them with sweet words, and then he personally served the prasad to them with his own hands to their full satisfaction. He washed their hands, he washed their feet, he put chandan on them, he put garlands on them. They were just strangers that happened to come to his house. Why? Because the Lord and his consort, the goddess of fortune, wanted to teach us how we should be respectful to guests to come to our home. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were the chief ministers of all of Bengal, living in Ramkeli. And they built, because they had such great fortune, big assembly hall. And in that assembly hall, they would invite scholars, pundits, devotees from all over the lands to come to hear and discuss the holy scriptures. They were young, they were handsome, they were wealthy, they had tremendous governmental powers. It is explained, when they were sitting in that court, they looked like Indra in the court of the heavenly planets. So effulgent, so aristocratic they were. But yet, every single guest that came to that assembly hall, even people who were insignificant in the eyes of the world, they would get off their high seats, they would offer obeisances to them, they would personally arrange for their accommodations, for their prasad, then they would come back and sit down. When such exalted persons are so respectful to others, this is an opulence that melts the heart. One of our great acharyas was Srinivasa Acharya. He visited Kardaha, where he met Janava Devi, the consort of Lord Nityananda. All Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Janava Devi. Even when she went to Vrindavan, the greatest Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, they were all present when she came. They all bowed their heads and took the dust of her feet. Jiva Goswami was making all arrangements for her accommodations and her happiness. And when she went to Sri Radha Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami just got up and offered his prostrate obeisances and worshipped her feet. These are the greatest acharyas, great spiritual masters even. But still, they're showing the world by their example how to honor a person who has a respectable position. Janava Devi, by her own realizations of love for Krishna, by her relationship as the consort of Lord Nityananda, was to be respected by all. So Janava Devi instructed Srinivasacharya that you should go to Kanakula Krishna Nagar to meet with Abhiram Thakur. His blessings are very important in your life. He went. When he was just in the outskirts of Kanakula Krishna Nagar, he met one Brahmin. And the Brahmin asked him many questions. And he told him about his life's history and his great separation from the Vaishnavas and how he was coming to meet Abhiram Thakur. So this Brahmin, at the same time he was bringing him to Abhiram's house, he was explaining the glories of Abhiram Thakur. And Srinivasacharya, very humble, just stood outside his door. Abhiram Thakur came to the door. Srinivasacharya bowed down to his lotus feet. But Abhiram Thakur wanted to test Srinivasacharya. Very important test. He gave Srinivasacharya 10 small coins and told him, purchase some bhoga and make an offering because I know you have been traveling and you haven't eaten in several days. So Srinivasacharya went with these little coins, because he had nothing himself. He bought some bhoga. He went to the banks of the river. And there he collected some wood and he made a fire. And he made a whole little offering of prasad, presented it to Krishna, chanted his mantras, and was just about to break his long fast. At that time, Abhiram Thakur called for 4 of his associates. He said, I want you to go see where that young boy is on the banks of the river. Go to the river in that direction. Abhiram was watching. The 4 persons just started walking toward the river. And Srinivasacharya, immediately upon seeing them, he stood up with folded palms. He offered all respects, welcomed them, sat them down, and fed them all the prasad. Abhiram Thakur was very happy. He's a Vaishnav. He's respectful to all. He didn't even know who these men were, but he respected them. He was in a spirit of serving them, even at the expense of himself. That is Vaishnav. That type of respect is Vaishnav. He was so pleased with Srinivasacharya that when Srinivas, he called him, come back, come here. And as soon as he came, Abhiram Thakur lifted with his hand his whip, Jai Mangala. to show his pleasure, because anyone he touched with that whip would become saturated with ecstatic love. He touched. He didn't whip people, he just touched them. He touched Srinivas with the whip one time, and Srinivas, just tears and hair standing on end, he was just body trembling, his voice choked up. Then he touched him a second time and it increased. Then he touched him a third time and he was just vibrating in ecstasy, howling. And he was about to touch him a fourth time, and Malini, the wife of Abhiram Thakur, said, "My dear husband, he's just a young boy. Don't touch him anymore. How much ecstasy can he possibly have? He must perform his prescribed duties." It is explained by Narahari Chakravarti that the reason that Abhiram Thakur tested Srinivasacharya to see how much he selflessly respected and served guests was to show the world by his example. If you want ecstatic love of Krishna, this type of respect is a prerequisite. This type of selfless service. To respect elders, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because a person is elderly in age, there is respect to be given to such persons. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he offered his prostrated obeisances and took the dust of the feet of his mother, because she was in that position of an elder. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a Mayavadi, he wasn't a devotee at all. He was a hard-hearted, dry logician teaching Mayavad. But somehow or other, he was the age of Lord Chaitanya's father and more. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him all respect. He respected him like a father. And actually, Gopinath Acharya and others were having big, big arguments with him because he wasn't accepting Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord. But Lord Chaitanya chastised them that he's my superior. And he offered all respects. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, "If you want to remain sannyasi, you must come under my shelter and learn Brahma Sutra." So Lord Chaitanya very respectfully said, "Yes, yes, I accept that you are my well-wisher." And he sat for many days in Jagannath Temple just listening, because he was senior. And then in the end, he very respectfully defeated him and made him into a Vaishnava. What a beautiful culture. Culture means everyone understands in a service attitude how to respect others according to their particular positions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to accept all the God brothers or God sisters of the spiritual master as we respect the spiritual master. Although he was the Supreme Lord and everyone of his associates realized and worshipped him as such, whenever he took prasad in a public assembly, he would always sit with Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu,
because they were the godbrothers of his guru. He honored them. He respected them. Advaitacharya was older in age. He was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly take the dust of his feet and bow down to Advaitacharya to teach the world. Advaitacharya did not like that. He would do everything within his power to resist Lord Chaitanya taking dust from his feet. And ultimately, he actually became a passionately aggressive proponent of the Mayavad philosophy, just to somehow or other get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to punish him and accept him as his servant. Because otherwise, he was always accepting him as his master. So we know the story. In Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya came, and when he heard Advaitacharya, what is this? Advaitacharya called me from the spiritual world to this world to teach pure devotional service, and now he is preaching Mayavad. So when he and Nityananda Prabhu came to Shantipur, Advaitacharya was in the middle of a class. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya coming, his voice raised and his enthusiasm to preach this monistic conception became more and more intensified. Lord Chaitanya ultimately jumped up on the stage, knocked him down and beat him. And Advaita's wife, Sita Thakurani, she was crying out, "He's an old man! He's an old man! You will kill him! Please stop!" But Lord Chaitanya couldn't hear her at all. He was just beating. Nityananda was smiling. Haridas Thakur was very much afraid. What is going to happen here? And then after he did that, Advaitacharya started dancing in ecstasy, saying, "You have accepted me as your servant. Where is your touching my feet now? You beat me on the head. Where is all your flattering words? You're insulting me. Today my life is fulfilled its goal. You have accepted me as your servant and you must punish me." And when Lord Chaitanya understood the trick of Advaita Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya became very embarrassed. And again respected him and took dust from his feet. Short time later. Even Ramchandra Puri, he was a rascal, fault finder. But still, Lord Chaitanya always offered him respect and taught everyone else to do the same. You all know the story. Because of his offenses to his Guru Maharaj, his nature became to find faults in others. This is actually the result of an offensive mentality when we have this propensity to find faults with others. He would feed the devotees. Jagadananda Pandit, he'd invite him, "Come, take prasad, take prasad." "No, no, I don't want to. I am Madhavendra Puri's disciple. I'm ordering you take prasad. You come and take prasad." "All right, I'll take this." "Eat more. Puran, I've had enough. I'm full. I'm completely..." "No, no, you eat more. I am Madhavendra Puri's disciple. You eat more. I'm telling you, eat more. Please eat more." Okay. "More! Ah, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Now I understand what kind of fallen sense gratifiers they are. They eat too much." That was such a person. And he did the same thing to Lord Chaitanya. One day the devotees, they made a nice arrangement of Jagannath's prasad for Lord Chaitanya. And he would come for their pleasure to reciprocate love.
And Ramchandrapuri happened to walk in the room right in the middle of Lord Chaitanya's prasad. Ah, sweetmeats and sabjis and cakes and so much. You, what kind of sannyasi are you? You eat too much and the wrong foods. Bogus.
There you go.
Lord Chaitanya, my Guru Maharaj's god brother has said like this. So from now on, cut my prasad into a couple handfuls of rice every day. The devotees would come to Puri for 4 months to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord. Now they couldn't do anything for the Lord because of this Ramchandra Puri. And even though he was only eating a handful of rice and a little boiled sabji, still Ramchandra Puri came to his house. He saw little ants crawl, tiny ants. Now for those of you who have been to Puri, there are ants everywhere. Anywhere you go in Puri, there's ants. Even if you stay in the famous Birla guest house, you'll see ants crawling around the floor and the walls. So he saw some ants. Ah, you are a pretender, hypocrite. You are showing your face to the world as only eating some rice, but secretly you're eating sweetmeats. And the evidence is these ants. Some sugar has fallen, and they have come to testify to your hypocrisy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every time he saw Ramchandra Puri, he would bow down and take dust from his feet. Such an extreme example. This is significant. This is not just a story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, tasting the sweetness of Radharani's love, who comes to this world in the guise of a devotee to teach us how to be a devotee. This is the process to honor and respect people according to their particular position and their relationship with us. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, even if a Mayavadi sannyasi is seen, if you don't bow down, it's such an offense that to atone you must fast from all food and water for that whole day. Now, what is a Mayavadi? According to our Vaishnav scriptures, Mayavadis are offenders to Krishna. They're misleading the world. Mayavadi Basya Mahaprabhu said, if you hear what Mayavadi said, your spiritual life is doomed. But yet, we have to bow down. Why? The principle of renunciation that they represent must be held very high in honor and respect. And we must bow down to the principle that they represent, the renounced order of life. That is culture. That is civilization. Respect. Krishna, when he greeted Sudama Vipra, he treated him with such exemplary respect. Now let us examine the difference between the two. Krishna's in Dwarka. He has 16,108 palaces. Each one is superior by thousands of times than Indra's palace in Swargaloka. He's married to 16,108 expansions of Lakshmi Devi, or Radharani, the goddess of fortune. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, the absolute truth from whom everything emanates. And Sudama Vipra is just
a very insignificant, unknown, poverty-stricken beggar. Tattered clothes, emaciated due to want of food. But Sudama, he was satisfied just serving Lord Krishna in his heart and remembering him. But his wife was feeling pity toward him. That you're emaciated. We don't have a proper... They didn't even have a house to stay in. It's just hardly even a thatched hut. They had not a single change of clothes. They were really in poverty. He never complained. She never complained. But she wanted something better for her husband, so she insisted, for his sake, go to see Krishna. He's your friend. You went to Gurukul with him. He'll give you. But I have to offer something to Krishna. And someone like Sudama Reaper, who's a pure devotee, he wants to offer the absolute best thing he has to Krishna. What was that? Some old chipped rice that they begged from someone else's house. That was the absolute best material thing he had to offer Krishna. What was his poverty? Today in India, I have seen and heard, people live very poor. Just like here in Bombay, people live with these little thatched huts with flattened out cans on the top for the roof. But usually they have all kinds of golden bangles and jewels somewhere stashed away. And sometimes the land that they're squatting on is so valuable, if you offer them 5 lakhs of rupees for their little thatched hut, they won't take it. But you will. But Sudama Vipa was actually in poverty. He had nothing. Chipped rice. When he came to Dwarka and he saw the magnificent gates of the city and he entered into Rukmini's palace and he saw the furniture wasn't made out of just some wood or metal. It was all solid gold and silver. The lights were diamond, rubies, emeralds, sapphires. And the bedstead that Krishna was sitting on with Rukmini was elegant. It was a culture shock for Sudama Vipra to be in that palace. Can you imagine? He just used to sleep on the dirt. And Krishna takes this insignificant little jivatma who's utterly, has no social position as far as respectability in the eyes of the world. And Krishna bows down to him, washes his feet, puts him on his own throne. Rukmini is fanning him with chamara. Krishna's with his own hand feeding him wonderful, luxurious prasad, giving him so many gifts. Why? Why did Krishna treat him like that? Because Sudama was a Brahmin. And Krishna wanted to teach the world we must respect qualified Brahmins. We must respect the caste of Brahmins. Even if he's doing it, what to speak of us? And another thing is Sudama was a devotee. He surrendered his life to Krishna. Krishna wanted to teach the world how he worships, honors, and respects his devotees. In the Christian Bible, Jesus Christ also taught this message. All of his apostles, there were 12 originally, they called him Master. They considered him the avatar of the Lord. They worshipped him, honored him, surrendered their lives to him. And one of the very last instructions, the night before his final persecution, he actually went with some water and washed. He was to wash the feet of each one of his disciples. And not with a towel, but with the cloth that he was wearing on his body, he was carefully drying their feet.
His leading disciple, Peter, he said, "My Lord, this is not proper. I cannot allow you to wash my feet." But Lord Jesus Christ said, "No, you must. You must allow me. I want to show all of you that if this is the way I honor and respect you, how much all of you should honor and respect each other." He washed the feet, honored, respected, worshipped each of his disciples to teach this message, how you should treat each other if this is how I see.
Shukadeva Goswami, he was hardly 16 years old. He was an avadut. He was so transcendental. He didn't know whether he was dressed or not. It wasn't that he was purposely going naked to show everyone how renounced he was. He just forgot all about having a body. That was his position. Now, you see, sometimes there's these naked sadhus who are very proud of being naked. They want to show the world how renounced I am. I don't even wear clothes. But then when that deep, intense longing comes in their lungs, they have to start smoking bidis. So obviously they're not transcendental to the body. And during Kumbh Mela, if you step in front of one of them when they're going to the Ganga and Jamuna confluence to bathe, they'll probably murder you with their tridents. They become uproared with anger if somebody steps in front of the Nagas, the naked sadhus. So that means they want respect. Still some bodily conception. But Sukadeva Goswami, he didn't purposely not wear clothes just to fit in some group of ascetics. He simply had no awareness that he even had a body. Haribo. He was just completely immersed in Krishna. People were making fun of him and teasing him and throwing stones at him, and he just meant nothing because Krishna says in Gita, no weapon can cut the soul into pieces. No water can dampen it. No wind can wither it. The soul is transcendental. He was identifying with his soul. So he felt nothing when people were blaspheming him, ridiculing him, and persecuting him, and throwing stones on his body. He was just happy remembering Krishna. But when he entered into that assembly on the bank of Ganga, where Maharaj Parikshit had already announced to all the great sages and rishis of the world that he was going to fast till death to hear about Krishna's glories, all these great sages stood up with folded palms as soon as Sukadeva Goswami entered. And there's a list of the sages who stood up and honored him. He was only 16 years old. Some of these people, God, they were from the time of Ram. Bhardraj Muni, Vashishta Muni, Vishvamitra Muni. They were really old men. They were really senior. Vishvamitra Muni was the guru of Ram. Vashishta Muni was the guru of the whole city of Ayodhya.
Narada Muni was there, Veda Vyas was there, Vyasadeva is Sukadeva Goswami's guru, Narada Muni is his param guru. People with tremendous powers, tremendous influence. And most all of them, they stood up to receive Sukadeva Goswami. Although he was old enough to be their great, 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 great grandchild. Why? They honored him. They sat on the floor and gave him the Vyasasan. Because he was blessed by Krishna. Because he was blessed by his guru and Krishna with transcendental realization, everyone honored him and worshipped him. And there are also stories in scriptures of examples of people who, in a high position, do not honor and respect senior persons. There is many stories of Indra. Some of the best stories in the whole Bhagavatam are born of Indra's, all respect to Indra, Indra's behavior, inconceivable behavior. Don't disrespect Indra. Because after all, Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we read when he performs yajnas, Vishnu personally comes, manifests right before him. So he's a great devotee. Somehow Vishnu, at least we don't see him when he comes. Some of us don't see him all the time. But Indra's a very great devotee. He has a very high position. But still, high position is dangerous. There is a story where Indra's sitting on his throne with Sachi, his queen. And the apsaras are dancing and the gandharvas are singing and the various devatas of Swargaloka are offering hymns for his pleasure and people of chamaras and all kinds of nice offerings are being given. And then his guru, Brihaspati, comes in. And Indra just sat there. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything overtly. The problem is he didn't do anything. He just sat there. Because after all, you're in a high position, you're being worshipped by all the devatas, and some Brahmin walks in, he'll understand. Brihaspati did understand. Therefore, he understood that Indra's finished. All the demigods are going to fall down and be defeated by the demons because of this. So without saying anything to anyone, he left. And sure enough, because of that offense, the demigods lost all their property and all their services. Another occasion, Indra is riding on his elephant, Airavata, Harivo, and Durvas Muni comes. And Durvas Muni is a great sage, he's a Brahmin. So he offered Indra his own garland that he wore. This is a benediction. He offered Indra his garland. So what did Indra do with it? Instead of honoring it, respecting it, to respect the garland means to respect the giver of the garland. Tadiya. The paraphernalia of a person is none different than that person if they are transcendental. The property of the deity is worshipable like the deity. The property of the spiritual master is worshipable like the spiritual master. So he gave him a garland, and Indra, somehow or other, in a state of pride,
because so many people give him nice garlands.
He just put the garland on his elephant. And elephants, they don't know what to do with garlands. So the elephant just threw it between his legs and crushed it. So Durvasa Muni saw, oh, you are disrespecting Brahmins and Rishis? So Indra fell down again. Fell down means he and all the demigods were defeated by demons and lost their service and lost all their property, their possessions. They became just wandering, begging for mercy. And there was the glorious story of Balaramji's pilgrimage. He went to Danda, he went to Naimasharanya. At that Naimasha forest, there was Romaharshan Sutta, who was disciple of Veda Vyas. Extremely learned person. He knew the Shastras, and he could present it with such incredible amount of erudite conviction. But as he was sitting on that high Vyasasan, the seat of his guru, and all the sages and rishis of Naimasha forest were sitting on the ground, Balaram happened to enter the assembly. And Romaharshan Sutta did not stand up to welcome him. He just went on with his narration. Haribo. Balaramji understood some pride is there. He wanted to teach the world a lesson. He condemned Romaharshan Sutta. You have no right to be sitting in such a high place if you don't have respect for superior personalities. And then Balaram took one piece of kusha grass and just touched Romaharshan Sutta. That's all required. Just touched him with a piece of grass and his heart broke and he died instantly. Sri Balaramji ki jai. So he taught the world a lesson. But then the Brahmins told Balaramji that we know whatever you do is perfect and you're teaching the world lessons and all that, but, you know, he was a Brahmin. And he was our guru also. And we had, just before you came, we gave him a benediction that he would live a long life. What will happen to the reputation of the Brahmins if we give a benediction and then you kill the person? So Balaram, to show respect to those Brahmins, even though he's the supreme absolute truth, he's the independent, he's Abhigya and Swarat, he's totally independent, he can do anything, anytime, and that's the absolute perfection of his Leela. Still, to show the world, he told them that I will perform tapasya, I will go on pilgrimage, just to atone for this offense. So to atone for the offense, he stayed there for a while and killed that demon Balavala. He went on a pilgrimage to atone for his offense. But also, in order to keep the Brahmin's promise intact, arrangement was made. The father lives through the son. So that benediction was transferred to his son, who was blessed by Lord Balaramji. And that was Sutta Goswami, who spoke to this, who later on went to the bank of the Ganga to hear Shukadev Goswami speak, and he returned to Naimasharanya to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages there. So these are many examples given by the Supreme Lord and his most exalted associates of how crucially it is important in order to have a real spiritual culture within ourselves and within society to observe the principle of respect. Amanina manadena. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasi hishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahare. Humble like the straw in the street, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others according to their particular position in our relationship with them, and to expect no honor or respect ourselves. In this spirit, we can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So we have heard of instances respecting mother and father because of their position in relationship with us. Respecting guests when they come, because a guest is to be considered as someone who is sent by Krishna. When guests come to our temple, Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, it's Prabhupada's temple. And every single devotee who has faith in Prabhupada, we are the caretakers of this temple. Not only the department of guest reception, but everyone. Everyone should be eager and anxious to receive any guest that comes to this temple in such a way that they feel Prabhupada's love for Krishna. No one should walk in these doors without feeling Prabhupada's love for Krishna and Prabhupada's love for them. And how will they feel that? Through us. Through how we treat them. Through how we speak to them. Through how we respect and honor them. We are the vessels. We are all representatives. They are coming as Radha Gopinath's personal guests, as Srila Prabhupada's guest, into their house. And we are the servants. If a rich person has a guest, and the butler or maid or the servant of the house mistreats them, they will be cast away. So it is everyone's duty. Any guest that comes from India, from abroad, should give them, whether we have a lot or a little, that is not important. It is the spirit of affection, the spirit of respect, the spirit of servitude. And to elders, elders in age, elders in particular positions, godbrothers of gurus, godsisters of gurus, people of higher generations than our own particular status in spiritual life, they must be honored and respected. If they're speaking something wrong, like Mayavadis, even if they're Vaishnavas, if they're speaking something that it's not favorable or blasphemous, we honor and respect by offering obeisances, but we cannot hear what they say. That is not respect. But if they're speaking properly, we should be eager to hear from them submissively, even if we're more learned than them, even if we know more slokas and we can give better lectures and we have more philosophical prowess than them. The fact that they're in a senior position, we should hear submissively from them and render service. If you want to please Krishna. And persons who have outstanding spiritual qualities, who are really humble, who are really dedicated. Shukadeva Goswami was junior to most of the people on that assembly of the Ganga. But everyone offered respect because of his qualities. Jananivas Prabhu, he's the regular topic of our Srimad Bhagavatam classes. He's a brahmachari. He doesn't officially initiate anyone. He's not holding a danda. He's not traveling around the world just accumulating wealth and followers. He's just a simple, humble pujari, brahmachari. But because of his steadiness, because of his life of dedication, devotion, his qualities, even the greatest leaders of our society must take the dust of his lotus feet and offer honor and respect to him. What to speak of the rest of us? Urmila Mataji. She's a simple lady living in North Carolina. But she's given her life, her soul, to actually creating integrity within Prabhupada's movement year after year after year, just stable, steady in her devotion. She deserves the honor and respect of every devotee. And individually and collectively, if we do not offer such respect to such persons who have such qualities, then how will we please Krishna? There will be a great defect in our spiritual life, whatever else we do. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us two very simple instructions. He said, you will go back to Godhead if you just do two things. Would you like to know what those two things are? He said, constantly chant the names of Krishna and do not criticize others. Haribo. It's quite simple in theory, but it's very difficult in practice for some of us. Amanina manadena. So we should really understand the importance of cultivating this principle of respect. In order to actually respect others, we have to put aside the craving to be respected ourselves. We should all be praying, struggling to somehow or other live by these qualities. And then the purification will be very rapid as we chant the holy name. Respect to all of you who are obviously waiting for breakfast prasad for a long time. We will end the class now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.